This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
Join with me in Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to be in verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. You know, one of my favorite movies of all time is a Steven Spielberg flick called Hook. It's a spin, if you guys have seen that, it's a spin on the Peter Pan movies when Peter Pan grows up. He's kind of an older gentleman now. He has kids, and Hook wants to do one last kick in the pants on Peter Pan by kidnapping his kids. And Tinkerbell comes and gets this old man who has forgotten everything about Neverland and tries to win his kids back. Well, one of the most pivotal scenes in the movie is when they're trying to figure out, the Lost Boys are trying to figure out, is this really Peter Pan or not? And this grown-up man who shows up, is this really our fearless leader? Because he's kind of an older man now, kind of a gut and everything. Is this really Peter Pan? That doesn't look like him. Well, Rufio, the de facto leader at the time, said he drew a line in the sand. Whether they would choose Rufio as their leader or this supposed Peter Pan. Well, one boy comes up to Peter at that moment and squeezes and scrunches his face kind of all like this and tries to see if that's really Peter Pan. And then he goes, oh, there you are, Peter. And he finally sees Peter. And that's when he's able to convince the rest of the Lost Boys, compelling Peter to remember who he really is, fight Hook, and get his kids back in the end. And it was this scene, that scene right there, when that lost boy looked in the face of Peter Pan, looked straight into his face to see the real Peter Pan, that turns the movie around to the Lost Boys. Well, in the same way, in this Advent season, I want you guys to peer in and look into the face of Jesus. See Jesus throughout this Advent season. Are you able to see him through the circumstances and the situations of your life? You know, every year we moan the fact that Jesus is missing from Christmas. And this year especially, after all that has happened in 2020, everything that's happened, our celebrations being tampered down a little bit, we can easily miss Jesus in our own lives and hearts. But let Jesus be the shining point of your Christmas this year. Even if you keep your old traditions or some of those have to be altered, I want you to see and look at Jesus. Marvel at him and not the other things around us that can easily distract us, distract our attention away from him. He is who we want your focus to be on in this Advent series, which centers on, like I said earlier this morning, which centers on the colors of Christmas. The idea behind this series of each week a different color is that each time you see these colors, it triggers in your mind to see Jesus and be amazed at a different aspect at the life and work of Jesus for you, him coming to earth to save us. And today, our color is red, a red Christmas. You see the decorations around me. The color red calls us to remember that Jesus was born to die, to shed his flesh and blood, his blood red for our salvation. And like I said, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 9 as our launching point from this. And the writer of Hebrews, in this book, he's introducing to us who it is that there's a superior one out there. There is this grand Son of God who sits on the throne, who has ultimate victory. He's no ordinary man. Even though the human race was made by God, and for God. The human race was made for himself. Even though the human race was created by God as a little lower than the angels, even though the human race should have had dominion over the whole land and have everything subjected to them, we know that isn't true. Everything in subjection to us We can look around, whether you're the first century reader living under Roman opposition and persecution, or us today who's facing an increasing secular society, we don't see everything in subjection to us. We don't feel like rulers of the world who's crowned with God's blessing and honor, living for his purposes. Well, then, as if in a climactic moment, here in verse 9, the writer reveals who this person is, who fulfills what we were created to be, says, namely, Jesus. The first time he's introduced in the book of Hebrews, first time he is mentioned by name, namely, Jesus, the one who has come to save. In verse 9, it says, we are called to see him. Verse 9, but see him. And this is our hope in this message, that the Spirit would open your eyes to see Jesus in this Advent season. Are you able to see him? Maybe you've never seen him clearly, and this is your first time even hearing someone tell you that you have to look and see him. And you're thinking, are you crazy? Like, he's not here. I can't see him. He's not alive today. What do you mean by looking at him? Well, the Bible tells us to look at him here in the pages of Scripture. And Jesus truly then comes alive. The Spirit just invigorates our eyes to be able to see Jesus. It's a supernatural, divine act. And my prayer is that God gives you that ability to see and to look at his beauty, at his majesty, at his love, and you would join us as we wonder and awe at Jesus through this Advent series. And there are others of you here who think that focusing and looking at Jesus maybe isn't a problem for you. You and I both know that there are countless distractions at war against us seeing and savoring the person and work of Jesus, isn't there? I know how easy it is to happen. When I was even preparing this, looking over this manuscript yesterday, I was in the midst of looking at Black Friday deals and hanging up Christmas decorations and hanging up lights and all the while going back every few minutes to look at the manuscript and look at it. But I was distracted. I couldn't keep my focus on even this simple task of getting this message ready for you. So I know what that feels like, to be distracted from looking at Jesus. So be aware of that. Be on your guard and not ignorant of our enemy's schemes to distract us from riveting our attention on Jesus in this season. So join with me as we see three sightings of how Jesus was born to die from Hebrews 2, verse 9. So first, is we see Jesus becoming man. We see Jesus becoming man. Verse 9 says, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus. All that God intended for humans is realized right here in Jesus. God's created what he has created and has purposes for mankind. But as I've said, we have blown it. We ruined those purposes. But Jesus didn't. Jesus kept it. He's the fulfillment of all we were supposed to be. And this is who we see right here. We see him become man, or as it says here, one who was made a little lower than the angels. Now, let me clarify. This isn't suggesting that Jesus was actually created like any other created being, like he was a created human and then God made him divine. That's not what we're saying here. Rather, this is speaking of Jesus as the pre-incarnate Son of God. Jesus, the eternal, with God the Father, with God the Son. The three in one were together from eternity, never created or begotten. None of them had a beginning. And then what happened was, when it says that he was made a little lower than the angels, was he, Jesus, the Son of God, decided to take on our humanity and enter into this world among us. He laid aside his divine rights that he had and embraced humanity fully. And this is humility. This is what humility looks like. Think about it. Man at his height is made a little lower than the angels. But Jesus, in the depth of his humiliation, is made a little lower than the angels. That's the amazing thought. So why don't we see this more clearly? Why do we struggle in seeing Jesus as fully man like us? Well, for starters, it is a mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery to think God becoming man yet not losing his deity. He is fully God, fully man. He's not mixed two parts, like 50-50. It's not one and now the other. Like he's, okay, now he's in his humanity and now he's in his divinity over here. No, it's fully both parts together. Like that's just, we can't wrap our finite minds around that. But we believe it because that's what the Bible tells us. But also we struggle to see Jesus as man because the supernatural stops to amaze us at times. Our society, our culture values things that we can see, that we can hear, that we can feel, that we can touch. We have to have it with our senses. We have to feel it, or we just don't get it. And it's not that simple with supernatural realities, though. We need to train our spiritual eyes to see and to hear Jesus. So when I say to see Jesus, we're not talking physically, but seeing this spiritual reality. So this Christmas, will you pause and wonder at the amazement of Jesus humbling himself to take on what you were not able to live up to? Will you look and see Jesus taking on flesh in order to sympathize with your weaknesses? Will you gaze beyond the trinkets and the distractions of this season and be stunned by the marvel that is Jesus becoming lower than the angels? That's amazing. The second thing that we see, first of all, we saw Jesus becoming man, and now, second, we see Jesus dying for glory. We see Jesus dying for glory. It says, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death. So Jesus became man is important for one reason. He was born as a man so he could die. You know, other religions, they show that their gods have come down in human form. Hinduism, for example, speaks of avatars of their gods. And this is not the same as the doctrine of incarnations that Christians have held on to for 2,000 years. Which, by the way, the difference between incarnation and avatar is a big theological issue in South Asia that literally people they wrestle with. But I'm not going to bore you with that issue here. But what is important is that Jesus became human in order to die. What God of this world would do that, would take on so that he would die? It's humiliating. It's shameful. This is why a lot of South Asians have issues with embracing Christianity. They're saying, your God had to die in humiliation? That's not a God. How is that a God? But that's our Jesus. He did it out of love. He did it for glory. What God of this world would do that? How could we come up with a silly notion that God would die for humanity? And that's why this is so amazing. On the surface, Jesus' death looks like madness. It looks like he is dying a death for just some claim that he made, that he was a Jewish king. Nobody liked him. He claimed that he was the Son of God. Nobody believed him. And he just, unfortunately, had an untimely death. But the text says that Jesus' suffering of death was necessary for his glory and honor. It sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Well, let me explain that Jesus took on humanity and was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross, because of this. Because through that, God would highly exalt him. Jesus is exalted in his death. This was his crowning moment. It is his crowning moment. We see Jesus dying for glory, the glory that was his from the foundation of the world. And again, we struggle to see this, don't we? We look at deaths that we have to face, and they seem so final, like that's the end. This is why we don't want to think or even ponder over our own death. But during Jesus' life, he was constantly talking about his upcoming death, because that was his glory. That was what he came to earth to do. Imagine if I walked around like that, like someone asked me, hey, man, what are you born to do? And I said, man, I was born to die. People would look at me like, man, you're crazy. He needs to go to, you know, Larned or something. He's born to die? Well, that was Jesus. He says, what do you come to do? I came to die. We don't view death as glorious without the spiritual eyes to see this. Again, in the midst of this season, we have to strain our eyes to see Jesus dying for glory. See him taking on our flesh to be crowned with glory and honor because of this death. But why? Why did he have to die? And how does that get him glory? That gives us the third point. We see him becoming man. We see him dying for glory. And third, we see Jesus suffering for us. We see him suffering for us. It says, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. He endured all this for us. In God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. Taste here doesn't mean just like a sampling like we would use it. Like, hey, can I have a taste of that? I just want a little taste of this. That's not what the word means, but rather it means to partake fully, like to drink it up, to drink it all up. Jesus took our death on himself so that God's intention for us would be realized. So because Jesus tasted death for us, we are no longer living estranged from our perfect, loving, glorious Heavenly Father. But now we can know the adoption of sons and daughters of the High King. Ephesians 2, verse 6 and 7 speak of our reality in Christ in this way. He says, God raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In Christ and by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone so that our reality would change. You know, my favorite Christmas hymn is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I remember as a kid sitting right where you are right now singing that hymn every year when I was little. It wasn't until I was an adult did I really listen to the lyrics of that hymn. It says in the final, the third verse, he says, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise us from the earth, born to give us second birth. Amen? It's amazing, an amazing fact, an amazing truth that we even see right here in this text today. And this is the Christmas story, Crestview. This is why Christmas is such a big deal. Christmas is bigger than making sure we put Christ back in Christmas. Christmas is bigger than pageants and programs. Christmas is bigger than decorations and presents. Christmas is the celebration of God becoming human, living for the purpose of dying so that he would pay the debt of our sin and take on our shame in order that we might be reconciled reconciled to God and honored and accepted by Him. Without Christmas, we have no hope. We have no Easter. The world changed on this day. The good news was great joy for all people. Peace on earth has come. So no matter where you are today, look to Jesus. God will make good on His eternal plans and promises for you. All of God's promises are made sure in Jesus today. So persevere. Keep looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. Crestview, it's so easy to miss Jesus and His suffering for us. But stop and take a moment to realize that He suffered and fully swallowed death for you. This is the essence of Christmas. It is the essence of the free gift of God in Christ. So in conclusion, we have seen Jesus in this text. We have seen how He was born to die. We see Jesus becoming man, dying for glory, suffering for us. I'm going to ask you again, do you see Him today? Even though we don't live according to how God has made us, He remedied by sending Jesus as a man to suffer and die and make humanity right again. Believe this today, and you will be reconciled to God. You will have acceptance and honor and forgiveness. This is my challenge now for you. This is my challenge for you over the next month. When you see red all around you, not just in your home, but in your office, in this room, the school decorations, at the stores, your neighbor's decorations, especially if Tim Taylor is your neighbor, right? When you see red all around you, let that be a reminder to see Jesus who suffered and died for you. And He did that for His glory and honor. See His red blood flowing for the forgiveness of your sins and purifying your life for Himself. Rejoice and be found in Him. Savor and live this truth. Make it sweet on your lips. Make it the delight of your heart this holiday season. Run away from the empty, temporary fountains of joy that the world offers and drink deeply from the draught of Jesus' ever-flowing fountain of joy. Drink deeply of Jesus this holiday season. So focus on Him. See Him today.